Matthew chapter number 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. This is one of the many parables that the Lord Jesus Christ told in his 3 years of earthly ministry. The title that we've given it is The Hearers and the Doers. We need to be both, by the way. We need to be a hearer and we need to be a doer. Close to one-third of the Lord Jesus' teachings when he was doing ministry were in parables. A parable, and we'll say this repeatedly over the next several weeks, but a parable means to cast alongside. To cast alongside. And by the way, they're only found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The first three gospel records is where we find them. So what Jesus would do is he would take a story like what we just read, and he would cast it alongside a spiritual truth. There would be a spiritual truth that would come out of these stories, or as we call them, parables, that would be helpful to the people that were listening to him, but also, praise God, we're still learning from them many, many, many years after his ministry has ended. Typically, there is one primary truth within the parable. So as we said, tonight, it's the hearers and the doers. Notice at the end of Matthew 7, I just lost my place. Matthew 7, 24, okay. You notice it ends with the word therefore. When you see the word therefore in the Bible, you have to back up the train a little bit. And you got to see why it's therefore. Okay? And so let's look at verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that, what's the next word? Doeth. You say, I thought we were saved by grace. We are. But you've got to do the will of the Father. And what is the will of the Father? To be saved by grace through faith. There still has to be a receiving. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Let's keep reading. Doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Notice this. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? So here's a lot of doers. They could say, we did a lot, but they didn't hear. Notice what he says in verse 23. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. There is some finality in that statement, is there not? Final. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Depart from me. So they thought they had it all together because they were casting out devils, they were doing many mighty works, They were doing, doing, doing. The problem is they didn't hear him before they worked. They were missing something. I believe our world today is filled with many religious doers. But religious doers do not get into heaven simply by doing. Jesus makes it clear. And this is why he says, so right after he says that, notice what he says, therefore. So imagine, if you will, you're sitting there, you're listening to Jesus, and Jesus just gives this incredible statement that he says, there's this big group of people that say, Lord, Lord, but they're not going to heaven. And then he says their resume of works is really good. Casting out demons, working for God. I mean, you see the list that's there, right? Prophesying in thy name. And you can turn on YouTube and see all kinds of prophesying going on. Okay, but it's not in the name of Jesus. And by the way, it's either God or against God. So you tell me who it's prophesying for. Be careful who you watch. Be careful who you listen to. They may say, Lord, Lord. They may say, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. But here it says, Jesus says there are many people like that that will say that to him, and he will say, I don't even know who you are. In Christ, anyway. Obviously, he's all-knowing. But he says, I never knew you as my child. But then it's interesting, right after that, so then he says, therefore. So he's just made this incredible statement. Now he's going to tell a parable that's going to tie in to what he just said. These individuals, as I said, were doers, but they were not hearers. The problem with these individuals in 21 to 23 is that they had the wrong foundation. As we look at this parable, we discover that we have builders. We're talking about builders again, okay? And we have these builders, and both of these builders, you probably saw it as we were reading, because maybe many of you have read this before, the Sermon on the Mount, that both of these builders faced a storm. It says when the floods came and the winds blew, both builders. There's only one thing different about these builders. I'm sure you caught it. One built on a rock, which is sturdy. One built on the sand, which is anything but sturdy. It's very shifty. That's the only difference. They all faced a storm. Now, what we don't see in this text, but I think we can use our sanctified imagination. Do you have one of those? We could say that they both use the same building materials, even. It's not in there, but the only emphasis of opposites we already see. So they had the same building materials. They had the same storms that came their way. Maybe even both houses, I like to think like this. Maybe if you're walking down the road when both houses were finished, they looked exactly the same. Like we said earlier today, you know, those houses in North Vancouver, West Vancouver, you know, mega mansions. It doesn't matter how nice they look on the outside. We know this to be true. If it doesn't have a good foundation, it's not going to last the test of time. It doesn't matter if they use the most expensive shingles known to mankind. If they don't put those footers in properly, those shingles are going down when the first windstorm comes around. So I don't know if it looked the same, but I just used my imagination. I think they had the same building materials, except the foundation, of course, what they built on. They might have looked the same, but one was safe and one was not. Now, again, Jesus is trying to teach something. He's not trying to teach how to build a physical house, okay? He just got through saying, somebody came to me and said, hey, we did all this great work in your name, and then I said, I never knew you, and now he's going to say, why? The parable is talking about the hearers and the doers. This group that he speaks of in 21 to 23 only did. They didn't hear. We've got to have both. The foundation is the most important detail. So quickly, let's go through this outline. Number one, Number one is the person speaking. The person speaking. Would you look down at verse 28 of our text with me as well, please? And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings. Wow. What it must have been like to sit there or stand there and hear the Son of God speak. When Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, his teaching. This is not what we're used to hearing, right? Look what it says in verse 29. For he taught them as one having what? Authority, not as the scribes, which had no authority, basically, is what it's saying there. This is not what we're used to hearing on Saturdays at the synagogue. This is not what we're used to hearing out of the scribes. This fellow, whoever this is, maybe they didn't know who it was yet, he speaks with authority, and he speaks with words that sink deep down into my heart. That is the person giving this parable. Tonight, I'm just reviewing what he gave, okay? This is just me as the under-shepherd saying, we're going to point to the person speaking, and the person speaking tonight is not the pastor, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. The person speaking tonight is the Son of God. This person speaking tonight, as we were talking about earlier, John chapter 1, he was, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Meaning, when God said, let there be light, Jesus was there because he is God. This is the person speaking. In Matthew chapter 7. This is why it said that he spoke with authority. And by the way, we don't need to shy away from the authority of the Word of God. Don't shy away from it. You know what the big word in 2026 is? Tolerance. It's tolerance for everybody except people that believe the truth. Isn't that something? It's almost too funny. Tolerance. No. We don't have to let that run over this truth. This is the truth. This is authority. And we need to stand for it. Because if we don't stand for it, we'll fall for everything. Stand for the truth. Tolerance. What is tolerance? Here's what I have. Tolerance is religious compromise. And compromise in churches is from the west coast of Canada all the way to the east coast of Canada and everywhere below us and above us. Look, we don't need to compromise on the word of God. We need to say, thus saith the word of God. This is Jesus speaking with authority. We don't have to speak with harshness, but we need to speak with authority, not with our words, but with his words. God's word has all power. Would you go with me to Luke's gospel, chapter number 6? We'll come back to our text. We must, as believers tonight, give heed to the scriptures. Give heed, obey. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Our belief should determine and change our behavior. Luke 6:45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. It's pretty clear, isn't it? It's either good or evil. There's no in-between ground. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Notice what Jesus says. Mark this verse. And why call ye me Lord, Lord? Now, we could almost take that and we could draw a line back or put a little asterisk in our Bible and put Matthew 7:22. Because here we see again, Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? You say I'm your Lord, but you don't obey what I say. Those don't go together. If he's my Lord, and if he's my master, and by the way, we have a master. It's best to say, I want Jesus to be my master, not Satan. It's either one or the other. Satan will use the world, the flesh, or himself, or his demons. And he is not a good master. Oh, but God is a very loving master. God is a very considerate and kind and compassionate master. I want him to be my master, not the old ways. And Jesus is saying here in Luke, he said, I am your Lord, but your actions speak louder than your words. I wonder tonight, are we hearing God's word? The best way to hear God's word is to open it up every day. It doesn't necessarily mean when I say, are we hearing it, that it's audibly hearing it. We can do that. We can listen to it it being read to us. That's a good way to do it. I'm not saying, but what it means is getting it into us. For me, in the morning, opening up this book, I want to hear what God has for me every day. And if this book is closed, I cannot hear what God has to say. And because this book is more current than the newspaper every morning, then I can get whatever help I need from this book every day, because every day I have specific needs, don't you? No 2 days are alike. Yes, we might go to the same job, we might do the same responsibility at that job, but no 2 days are the same in anyone's life. That's why it's so wonderful that we have the Bible that we can go to every day, and it already has the help that we need for that day. And we haven't even lived it yet, and yet it's right there. It's ready for you. It's ready for me. If I'm hearing the word of God, it will be truly known in my obedience to it. You know, we can open it and we can turn the pages. We can read a little bit and we can close it and nothing about us changes. Then I submit to you, we are not hearing it. It's just going in one ear and out the other. It's just like reading anything else. But when we read it and we get convicted by the Spirit of God about something in our life, or something that's not in our life, and we repent of that, or we say, God, I want that in my life more, or God, thank you for bringing that to my attention in your word. Help me, God, by your Spirit. That's showing that we're hearing the word of God. And it has the authority in my life to say, okay, right? Like veto power. You know what that means, right? And we're reading the Bible, and it just said, you know what? You shouldn't be doing that. Stop doing it. The Holy Spirit's telling us that. The person speaking is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go back to Matthew 7. Then we see number two, the person speaking is the Lord Jesus. And then number two, we see the principle stated. The principle stated is in verse 24. Notice these two words in verse 24. These sayings. Then you notice what it said in verse 28, right? When he had finished these sayings. Whatever he said in this time is vital. Whatever these sayings were. Now remember, a few moments ago we talked about the fact that much of the situation was the same. Two workers, two builders, they face storms. We have unsaved and we have saved. It doesn't matter if you're saved or unsaved, you're going to go through storms in life. Saved people go to the hospital, unsaved people go to the hospital. It rains on the just, it rains on the unjust. But there is something that Jesus, within these sayings, is emphasizing. Would you go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3? Please. The principle stated has to do with our foundation. With our foundation. 1 Corinthians 3:11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Right there, the Son of God. That must be our foundation. He must be our foundation. Notice what it says in verse 12. Paul writes, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. This is the emphasis of the judgment seat of Christ, which we've covered in recent days. So we won't go into that. But the point is the foundation. For other foundation can no man lay. Jesus Christ must be our foundation. The type of Christ that is listed in our text tonight is in verse number 24, Matthew 7:24, which built his house upon a rock. This is the type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said that he would build his church, and he said, upon this rock. And he was referring to himself. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not declare it, shall not prevail against it. Jesus is this rock. Jesus must be the foundation of our lives. This is the principle. This is what Jesus is saying. He's saying that these first men, 21, 22, and 23, who said, we did all of this, we did all of this, they were like the man who built their life on the sand. They missed out. They ran around, but they weren't hearing first. They were only doing. May God help us tonight. I'm sure for most of us here tonight, it's a great reminder. But maybe tonight, it's an arresting of your attention in a greater way to build your life on Jesus Christ. What does it mean to build my life, okay? Maybe you've heard somebody say that before. Let me give you a few things that I wrote down. Some of them we might have mentioned a moment ago. Let me just give you this quickly. What does it mean to build my life on Christ? Okay, here's one thing that I thought of. It must mean, it means I believe what he says is final. What he says is final. It's not up for debate. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's final. You can get baptized 5 times back there in that baptistry. You're not going to heaven because of that. That's not what Jesus said. You can do the best you want in this community. And I'm not against you helping the community, but that's not how we get to heaven. If I'm going to build my life on Christ, I'm saying whatever he said, and that's why I've got to know what he said, right? And it ought to be not just that the pastor's telling us all the time what he says. We ought to go into our Bibles and say, I already saw that. You know, yes, we need an under-shepherd. I'm not saying it's a problem. I'm just saying don't rely only on the pastor. Get into the book yourself. And say, I believe it because it's right there. It's even in red letters in my Bible. Every word in the Bible is from God, okay? But that's the first thing. Believe that what he says is final. Then, number two, I must believe what he says is forever. It kind of goes along with that. By final, I mean there's no debating it. But by forever, I mean it's never going to change. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. New things come up. New things are popular. New things are happening. I don't care about that. Stick with what's never changed. This book, this blessed old book that I hold in my hand. It's true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. This blessed old book right here, the Word of God. All kinds of newfangled things happen, all kinds, even in churches. And now everything that's new is bad. I'm not saying that, by the way. But I'm saying this. What Jesus said is not only final, but it's also forever. Whether it's popular or not, should not matter to us. Thirdly, build your life on Christ means we must believe that what he says changes lives. What Jesus says right here has changed my life. Look, I'm not doing what I'm doing right now if it weren't for the words of Christ. I'm not doing what I'm doing right now. And that doesn't mean you don't have to be, everybody's not going to be a pastor. I'm just saying, for what God put into my life and where God has placed me, it's because of this book right here. It's because I've not done my best at it at all, but Jesus has always done his best to build my life on him means that his life, it changes lives. He changes lives. Look, you're on your way to heaven tonight because Jesus changed your life. Now, if you're not sure if you're on your way to heaven, I'm not saying everybody here is on their way to heaven, by the way. You gotta know that you're on your way to heaven, not because you even had some crazy experience, okay? That doesn't mean you didn't have an experience. I'm just saying, don't put your faith in an experience. Your faith should be in a person, Jesus Christ, not an experience. A lot of people experience things. Too many anchovies on their pizza. You know, eating too late at night, going to bed on a full stomach. By the way, I've done that. I experienced some things, all right? But it wasn't salvation. We'll just leave that alone, all right? No, it's not my experience. If the first thing out of my mouth is when you ask me how I got saved and I talk about myself, then you need to say, you know what? I don't want to hear that because it's not me. It's not my baptism. It's Jesus. So how do you know you're on your way to heaven? Jesus Christ saved me. That's it. Boom, done, over with. Now, there's a lot of things that come after that. That's where Ephesians 2:10 comes into play. But heaven is only by grace through faith. Build your life on Christ. What he says is final. What he says is forever. What he says never changes. And what he says changes lives. God's word is all sufficient. We build our lives by hearing, and we build our lives by doing. Pastor Sexton used to say this, obedience is delighting in doing God's will. Not just doing it, but delighting in doing it. So number one, the person speaking, Jesus Christ. Number two, the principle stated, these sayings. Number three, the promise made. This is beautiful. This is beautiful. Back to Matthew 7. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. Here's the promise. It fell not. Now, if you've been around church for a little while, you know this is a good song. This is a good Sunday school song right here. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The rains came, the floods came up. House on the rock stood firm. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The rains came, the floods came up, and the house on the sand went splat. The last verse says, so build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the blessings will come down. The prayers will go up, and the blessings will come down. The promise made. It fell not. Let's read verse 26 and 27. Okay. Let's all agree on this. Whether you agree or not, that's okay. But we're all hearing this text tonight, are we not? Okay, we're all hearing it. So Jesus even said, two groups of people, they're both hearing it. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, but here's the difference. 26, and doeth them not. Both builders heard. Every Sunday you come to church, we all hear the same Bible message. It doesn't have to be me. It might be a missionary preaching. It might be a guest preacher. We're sitting there. We're listening. Everybody that comes into a Bible preaching church, I know it's not rocket science, but we all hear the same message. When we leave, though, the proof's in the pudding. We're either going to be group one, which hears and then applies. And then it doesn't fall. That's what I want in my life. I can't say I've always done that, okay? Nobody's perfect. That's not what we're here to talk about tonight. Jesus is perfect. What we're here to talk about tonight is we want to grow in grace. We don't want to be like the second person who comes in and hears everything else, same thing, hears the same message, but goes out, doesn't apply it. Now, a lot of times I think that might be when they came in, they had a lot of distractions in their head. Have you ever come to church and had a lot of distractions in your head? My hand's up and I'm the pastor. Okay? And I got to say, God, please help me get those things out of here. I can think about them later. Not right now. We're about to open up the holy book that's alive. The point is, don't just be a hearer. And this only happens by the grace of God. The rain descended. Foolish man which built upon, okay, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that beautiful house. And it, what, church? Boom. It fell. And notice, it didn't just fall. Notice what it says. Let the Bible speak, right? And great was the fall of it. You know, this parable, this is not just for, this is for every believer, by the way. And it's even for unbelievers to consider their salvation as well. In my lifetime, the number is irrelevant, but in my lifetime, there's been numbers of people that I looked up to. I looked up to as being my, they were older than me. They were leaders in my life. I looked up to them. Some of them were in ministry, some of them were, laymen, and they were laboring for the Lord. Again, we're all working together. But unfortunately, in a number of cases, now, praise God, the stories that are good and are a blessing far outweigh the ones that don't, okay? Don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying, when Jesus says, great was the fall of it, it wasn't just there to fill up space on your Bible. They heard, but they did not do. Or they didn't hear, but they tried to do. It's like trying to do the work of the Lord in the flesh. Can't happen. Doesn't work. When that person walks away and begins to dabble in sin, the fall is just like it says right here. It's great. Here's the greatest problem with it. It's what it does to the name of Christ. It's not about the person's name even, first, or the church, or the ministry, or this, the family, or whatever, but it's the name of Jesus Christ. We did a lot in your name. Didn't they say that? We did. I'm not saying that these people are not saved that fell into sin. I don't know. That's between them and God. But I'm saying great was the fall of it. This is why we must be on guard. Because it doesn't matter, honestly, it doesn't matter how many Bible verses I can stand up here and quote for you tonight. And I'm for Bible memorization as much as anybody in the room. One of those preachers in particular could quote scores and scores and scores and scores and scores of Bible verses. But he just threw everything away. Great was the fall of it. Satan is way more powerful. Satan is way more intelligent than I am. He's much smarter than I am. I am no match for Satan by myself. No match. And if I start thinking I am, it's not going to be pretty. That's why we've got to heed the promise of Christ. In the world in which we live, there is a beautiful promise right here. Yes, the rain's going to come. Yes, the storms are going to come. Yes, it's going to beat upon that house. But if we are built on Christ, it, meaning your life, will stand the test of time. It doesn't matter how powerful the storm is. God is allowing it, yes, so that your life, anchored to the rock of Christ, can bring glory to Him. It doesn't mean we don't tip over even. We wait. The wind slows down and we just get back. Why? Because it's not about us, but it's about who we're anchored to. We're anchored to the rock. By the way, the order of this lesson is very important. Let me hasten. The order is very important. First hear, then obey. In other words, service should always be born out of hearing. You understand what that's saying? We can't just go out and try to serve God with our life until we have some hearing done. In other words, we've got to have time with God before we try to go out and serve God. The order is so important. My walk with God must be strong in order to serve Him effectively. My walk with God, and I'm saying this personally, but it applies to all of us, our walk with God enables us to work for God. Somebody that doesn't have a walk with God can work for God for a little while, but it will not last long. Why? Because the enemy is much smarter and stronger than I am. I've got to have a close walk with God. That's the hearing part. May God help us to be faithful. Why? Because God has been faithful to us. God is worthy of our worship. God is worthy of our hearing. God is worthy of our service. Yes, it's for the Lord. It's always for the Lord. We do it in the local church. I believe that's what spiritual gifts are for, within the local church. But ultimately, it's not even for the church. It's for the Lord. Number one, the person speaking, Jesus Christ. By the way, He's still speaking tonight. Some of the things that Jesus has said, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Listen, listen. Listen to Jesus. He's the one speaking. How does he speak? Right here. God speaks through his word. He speaks through the Holy Spirit inside of you. He does speak through circumstances. This is the greatest way he speaks right here. The principle stated, these sayings, and then the promise made, it fell not. Folks, we can go through the most, whatever, I don't know what the most challenging thing has been in your life. Maybe it hasn't even happened. I'm not trying to be doom and gloom, okay? But whatever it is, bring it on if we are hearing and if we are obeying, because whatever it is, God's allowed it. And we can claim that promise. It fell not. Don't be the other one. Great was the fall of it. I'm so thankful we have a very merciful God, aren't you? Wow, what a great God we have. Shall we pray? Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Maybe you'd take just a moment to consider this first parable. Hearers and doers. Possibly you're here tonight, you're not sure you're saved. Don't leave without speaking to someone. Because you're not saved because of, just like any of these other people said to Jesus, I did so many things for you, but Jesus said, I never knew you. Let's be prepared. We know the storms are coming. Many have already come in our lives. We can all testify tonight that God is so good. I'm going to pray.